So we're starting a new section of, for now. We've put Mukta behind us. Hopefully we're more knowledgeable in the Yoni of Mukta. And we start a new section called cleaning our houses, our yards, taking care of our houses, things that we need to do around the house that has to do with cleaning and those type of things. So let's start. The first thing we start with is sweeping. Now, sweeping, Chazal tell us, is a problem of Ashvuye Gumas. Remember in the olden days, homes weren't with the beautiful balatos or anything as nice as that. Rather, they had earth floors, and these floors were not very hard. They got grooves in them and dents and bumps, and it was loose sand and bring up dust and all sorts of interesting things that we don't even dream about. But as a result, as I'll tell us, that sweeping a floor, the problem of smoothing out your floor, you're going to fill up the holes, fill up the grooves, and that will be an Isser on Shabbos, probably Boine, it's indoors, it's something else, and the Mela, sweeping the floor on Shabbos will be awesome. And tell me that, well, our floors are not like those floors, and therefore there shouldn't be a problem. Chazal said, there's a Xera, Merutzev, Otum, Eden, Merutzev, a paved floor is still also to sweep, because the Xera are people who don't have paved floors. Ah, you tell me, who doesn't have a paved floor today? So in the Chanamim, we're going to say that when you're dealing with a area, a neighborhood, a city, where the majority of the homes are paved, and today you could say basically all the homes, but already in times of Chazal, we're talking about the majority of the homes are paved. So then, in such a city, then you're allowed to sweep the floors indoors. Outdoors, since we don't have this idea that all outdoor areas are paved, even though we have streets and sidewalks, who knows what. We have a lot of areas that are paved nowadays, but nevertheless, outdoors is not roiv merutzif, and therefore outdoors remains like in the days of Chazal, that you may not sweep the outdoors on Shabbos, even if it's a paved area, because of Ashvuye Gumas, you might come to smooth out areas that have dents or holes or something like that. And therefore, we're going to say that one today in our homes, which are have proper flooring, there's no problem of sweeping them on Shabbos because this is the roiv. The fact that we have a slight dent in the floor where the grouting is between the tiles is not a reason for concern. We're not concerned that that's considered actually a gumas, that it all gets cleaned away. It's not a guma as in the way that Chazal referred to it. And therefore, there's no problem of sweeping our floors on Shabbos. One should use a soft hair broom and not a hard hair broom. That's a separate issue of the broom itself. That brooms with stiff bristles can break. That will be a separate problem. And therefore, one should use a soft hair broom. Rav Shlomo Zalman has a tzad to say that a paved yard that's adjacent to the home, even though I said outdoor areas we consider as Makom She'ena Merutzif, it's usually a place that's not paved. Therefore, even in a paved area, you may not sweep because we need where roiv the areas are paved, and it's not so. That's only indoors. So outdoors, it wouldn't apply, and therefore outdoors is also to sweep. From Zama, it's sad to say that an outdoor area that is paved that's adjacent extension to the home, he says, is really considered just like another room in the house. It's a room without a roof. But it's another room in the house.
Max, what is with carpet?
We'll get to that. And so, so basically on that swara, I would say that something like an preset for sure would get to be an avachedesh and makura, as in another room in your house, just that it hasn't got a roof. You have a backyard. It really depends on the circumstances. Maybe it's good I could ask a shayla if it's Mako to sweep a paved area within his garden. But otherwise you have, so okay, so that would be the din. So what's going to be a practical nafkamina? Where do we go sweep? We don't spend our Shabbos afternoon sweeping the chaneya, Baruch Hashem, because it's awesome. But a practical application would be if you're on vacation, camping, and you are in a camping grounds where most of the tents and various accommodation is just regular flooring, regular ground without tiles. So even though you got one which has proper tiles inside, nevertheless, you cannot say that this is a place where most of the accommodation is paved. No. In such an area, you would say that most of the accommodation is not paved, and therefore, even if you are in a paved unit, nevertheless, you may not sleep on Shabbos. Another nafkamina, practical nafkamina from this halacha would be if you built your sukkah in the chaliya on the street, something like that, that you could not sweep your sukkah on Shabbos, even if it was in a paved area, because it's in the outdoors we don't allow sweeping in the area. If your sukkah is on the mipeset, so then perhaps you can rely on the Shlomo Zalman to hold it. The mipeset is really just another room in the house. The fact that it hasn't got a roof doesn't make it outdoors from the halacha of Kotzer, and therefore you could sweep your sukkah in the mipeset. Okay. Once we're talking about brooms, first of all, if your broomstick has separated from the broom head, you may not screw it back in on Shabbos. You may not reattach it. And even if it's attached but it's loose, you may not twist it in order to tighten it. Like a batish, it's always with things that are loose to tighten them, which Shabbos would be a problem. And therefore, you have to be careful that you're not tightening your broom head on Shabbos. And another thing is, do you say that the broom is muktzah or not? Is a machlokes, generally speaking, from the Shulchan Aruch, it's mashma that brooms are muktzah, it's kedushin lachtan isur, the purpose of the broom is to sweep, and sweeping essentially is also, could be that today where we have live in towns where our homes are paved, and we have indoor brooms that no one could be using for the outdoor. If you use it for the outdoor, that's not its ikka use. Its ikka use is used for the indoors, but since we live in places where it's mutter to sweep, and this is something which is used to sweep in the places where it's mutter, so we're going to say that an indoor broom will not be, it's a klisha after the heter, not a klisha after the isur. Even if you say it's a klisha after the isur, it doesn't mean that you can't use it, it's just you have to remember that you can only use a toko for mokoyma, you need to sweep it, you take the broom, but you can't move the broom, for other reasons, like because you left it outdoors and it's going to be rained on, that you can't bring it in, unless you hold a klisha after the heter, which is very common to say that our indoor brooms are not mukta, and if you left your indoor broom outside, you can bring it in for the sake of the broom. To apply any form of cream or wax or something like that to the floor on Shabbos is asur, and even if it was applied before Shabbos to then go and buff it and polish it on Shabbos would also be a problem. Either there's a problem of memareach, that is the spreading of this cream or wax or whatever it is, and the shining, the buffing, will be a problem of tzaveah, could be turned into a bonon, but they still make it awesome. It's the same thing with garbage polishing shoes. Buffing up and shining a shoe, even if you're not applying polish, could also be a problem with severe. Now, as for carpets, so carpets generally are considered as material, and we treat them like we treat clothing in that form, and that is that clothing, we know there's an isur kvisa. You may not wash your clothing on Shabbos. It's melabin, and the isur kvisa includes many things. A, it includes soaking something. This is earlier. Soaking material in water is a form of cleaning. There's rubbing and there's wringing. So when it comes to a carpet, you can't do any of those. Now, generally, we don't soak our carpets, nor do we wring them, but we do rub our carpets, even with a small amount of liquid. And even when it's dry, if you have a stain on your clothing and you scratch it off, that would be also to do on Shabbos to scratch it off. Could be that if you have something superficial, something above the surface level of the material, and you use a knife and you cut off what's above the surface level, that would be mutter on Shabbos, on your clothing. So kid, you know, you're feeding your baby chocolate pudding, and a bit of chocolate pudding ends up on the front of the clothing. You can take the spoon and remove what the excess chocolate pudding, but the stain is underneath. You cannot wipe off on Shabbos. So too on the carpet, what's superficial, what's above, what's lying on top of the carpet. The kids ate pretzels and now you've got broken pretzels on the carpet. You may pick up, sweep off those pretzels, but you cannot sweep it in a way that you're getting hold of the ingrain. Therefore, we're going to say that carpets essentially have the same thing as clothing, and therefore, although they're on the floor, we don't treat them like the floor, and they have a separate din, and therefore we say not to brush your carpets, sweep them, nor to use a carpet sweeper, even if it's a non-electric assisted mechanical type. These are all too abrasive and cause too much cleaning, but a superficial form of cleaning of the carpets you know, to push the toys off the side, to get rid of the external dirt, what's just above. Even if it's not pretzels, it's cookies, it's feathers, dirt that the kids have brought in. But it's something that's on top, you know. They beat out into the grass and now come in the house and they've got grass all over the carpet. That didn't get ingrained in the carpet, so that can be swept off. It must be done carefully and benachas with ease and not with pressure or with force. I mean, if a Yitzhak has it sad to say that using wall-to-wall carpeting gets it in on the floor, but at the end of the day, it's still material, and therefore you have to carefully clean it like you would clean clothing, and therefore if you have a stain on the carpet, you just can't put any liquid or use anything that's wet in that stain. It's not to be done on Shabbos. Another halacha, not so common today, is that when people are in areas where they have earth floors, and it's dusty and windy, and the bringing up the dust. So what was common in those days when you lived in such homes that you sprinkled a bit of water on the floor and that settled the dust. You didn't put enough that made mud because of mud all over the house, but you put a certain amount of drops of water just to get the dust to settle. That is mutter or Shabbos. Obviously not in a place where anything is growing because that would be a problem of watering. I'm talking about in the house where people walk, generally speaking, where people walk, nothing grows. That's together you get done. Look at a field with a pathway where everybody walks through and nothing grows up. Even the weeds, which you don't intend on growing, which grow so beautifully everywhere else, will not grow where people walk. There's actually enough to win an halacha from that. In Hilchos Pesach, when you throw out, no, actually it's in Hilchos Shabbos, when you throw out seeds or your chickens to eat, so be worried that if the ground is wet, winter it's been raining, if the ground is wet, and you throw out seeds for the chickens to eat, so if they miss a seed or two, then maybe you're going to end up planting those seeds. They're going to take root. And so how do you know? Maybe the chicken's going to miss one. You're going to end up planting the chavis. Throwing out some grain into the wet chicken coop is going to be planting the chavis. So we say that if it's in an area where people walk, then nothing's going to take root of it. And it's no problem. Not throwing out your seeds to the chickens to eat, even if they miss one. Two for a day or two or three, because it takes 3 days for something to take root. We're not worried about that. So, as I said, you have a dusty, you live in a dusty area and you want to settle the dust by putting out a little bit of liquid. That is not a problem on Shabbos. Obviously not to put the liquid in the place where it's growing. Now, what about sponger? What about doing a mopping up, a washing of the floor? So that we're going to say is also on Shabbos. Where that is done, the chutznik away with a mop or a wet cloth, which is anywhere from mosquito, or whether they've done it by some of the classical Israeli ways, where you flood your apartment with 2 feet of water, and then you sponge it out to the person to make sure that it goes down the drain and hits someone who's walking by. That is also on Shabbos, never mind discuss whether you can let the drain waters pour down on the passers-by downstairs, but we're talking about from the point of view of washing the floors. Washing the floors, we're going to say, is also on Shabbos. However, it's similar to sweeping because it comes from the same idea of Ashuya Gomus, that washing the floor with water can cause the indentations and grooves in the ground to fill out, and there will be a problem of boiling, and our houses are all Marutzif, so that should be a heter, just like it is in sweeping. And we're going to say that sweeping is something that's more common, and therefore they're going to be mutter it when you have most of the houses in the area that are paved or piled. Whereas when it comes to sponger, we're not going to give this heter of relying on paved floors, and therefore it's a gzeira. We don't have that type of cleaning or chance. However, because as it's a gzeira, it's a rabbanon, and essentially, there are opinions on the matter. We, the Ashkenazim, are much more machmir. We rely to wait only when it comes to sweeping to have a place where most of the homes are paved. There are those who say that whether your house is paved or not paved makes a difference. But since there's a lot of shifters to be mako, so we will be mako in certain circumstances. For example, in a hospital where hygiene is of utmost importance, so we will say that there it is, we will allow cleaning on Shabbos. Even with Jewish employees to use water and a rubber squeegee, a sponges, because they're called in this country, not to use a shmata, a fluff of sorts, because it is a problem of skita that doesn't help over here, but to use just water and use liquid water, so whatever, and then to pull it away with a rubber squeegee or sponge stick would be permitted in such a case, to allow the goyim to do sponge with material would be mutter, because they could do it without, and if they find it more convenient to do it their way, but you don't ask them to dafka do it their way. You just tell them the floors has to be clean and they should be doing it the way that it's mutter on Shabbos, and they go ahead and they change and they do it in a way that for us would be also, that's their own choice, and therefore we don't have to stop them from doing it that way. We just don't have to ask them. We're not allowed to ask them to do it that way. Or if you're dealing with a house that has reached a level of uncomfortable filth, then also a house can be cleaned in such a case. So you could call that a shas etchak, and a shas etchak would rely on the more lenient opinions to clean a house again without a cloth if necessary. That's talking about to actually go ahead and clean a house. What happens if you have spills on the floor? How do you deal with them? So, number one, we'll talk about small spills. If the amount of liquid that spills is small, then you can take a cloth, a shmata, use a tissue or a napkin or whatever it is, and wipe it up, because you're dealing with a small amount of liquid, and we're not worried that the material that you're dealing with is going to become soaked and you might come to squeeze it. As long as it's taka not that wet that there's something to squeeze out, then taka you can wipe it up. However, if you're dealing with an amount of liquid that when the cloth that you use to wipe it up is going to be wet enough that it can be squeezed, we have to be very careful that we don't come to squeeze it. So preferably you should not use a cloth to cover up the spill. If you do, then place it there and leave it there. Don't take it away, because taking it away would be problematic. As soon as you pick it up, you might be squeezing the area that you touch. If you've left it on the floor and people walk over it, you don't have to stop them, because that is a kila achayad. If water comes out of the material because they stepped on it, that's kila achayad, and it's sasik, they're not intending on doing such a thing. And if you need to get rid of the cloth, there is another way to do it, and that is to use a utensil to carry the cloth away. For example, use a sponge stick and push the cloth all the way back, all the way to the bathroom or past the shirut or something like that. That would be permitted, because we know that there's a heter when it comes to squeezing, a heter that we don't rely on the chatchila, but on existence. Therefore, we use it when it's necessary. When you have a handle to the item that gets squeezed, if you're using it by the handle, then there's less of a problem. So if you've got a handle to your shmata that's on the floor, meaning using a stick or something like that, then you can remove it from where it was on the floor. So that is talking about spills. If you have a small spill, again, you can use a cloth to wipe it up. If you have a big spill, then you have to be careful. If you're going to use a cloth and don't wipe it up, just place the cloth there to absorb the liquids and don't pick it up again, or pick it up on a date of Achir with something else. If you have a large enough spill and you want to sponge it out of the apartment, that can be done. Once the water's on the floor, you're not putting it there to clean the house, but once the water's there, Shmuel Shalos Kirkosa says that you may sponge the water out to a drain. Problem is that you have to know where you're going to get the water to go to, because our Israeli homes have the plumbing pipes put in the floor, and wherever the plumbing pipes connect, they put a little cover, a plastic or a metal cover, and you can open that cover, and then you can put all the water into that hole underneath. So sometimes they put a cover with a perforated top. And it's especially if you have a built-in trap in such, depends, there are different types of connections and joints that they use under the floor. Some of them are just dry connections, meaning one pipe leads into another, which then leads into a third and drains out. And sometimes you have a trap built in, which means that the second pipe that leads all the water out of the area is slightly raised, and therefore you always have a puddle of water inside. The purpose of that is to have an open drain pipe allows the odors of the sewer system to rise through that open pipe, and therefore you don't want that in your house, and therefore if you do have such a connection, it's nice and secure. But if you have a trap inside which holds water, the water will act as a natural sealant and not allow the smells to emanate. And a mela, you can then have such a trap with a perforated top, which allows you to sweep to sponge the liquids into it easily on Shabbos. But in absence of such a perforated top, and you only have one that you need to open, so the problem, these things are not made to open and close all the time on Shabbos, and therefore there's a problem of boine and soiser to open them on Shabbos. If it has a handle, which I don't know of such types, halachically, if you have a lid on the floor, that's built into the floor, that has a handle that shows it to clean, it's not makovel lekarka. So if you happen to have one that has a handle, then you may remove it, or if it has a hinge, that would also be a simon that it is not part of the floor, and it's just a lid. You can remove it. Generally speaking, as far as I know, the ones we have do not have handles nor lids. One has to be careful that if you're going to sponge this water out, you cannot open that little cover on the floor to get the water to go out. You're going to have to sponge it even further to your repressor or whatever it is, and then you have to watch out and just go out to a garden with the water. One has to be aware of what one's doing. Back to spills, the simplest way to clean up a spill is to use disposable materials such as paper towels if pre-cut, or napkins or tissues or something like that, because since they're going to be thrown out, we're not makbi on shechita, and therefore we don't want you to squeeze them, but you can remove them. Dusting furniture on Shabbos is permissible if you use it dry. So if you have a duster or a cloth, or microfiber cloth or whatever it is, you may remove dust on Shabbos. Can't imagine who wants to do it, but if you do, you may. But you may not buff up or polish your furniture, especially not using any material, cream, paste, spray, or like that. You may not do that on Shabbos to polish your furniture, even if polishes on in China, if you want to buff it. It would also be also only dusting on Shabbos. Spider webs are muktzah, and spider webs have a problem of mechubar. They are connected to your home. And therefore, if you have a spider web in the corner of your house, it is not permissible to remove that spider web, A, because you can't remove muktzah, and B, you can't break something in the house. Of course, to kill the spider is asur, unless you're dealing with a venomous, poisonous spider. It's a danger to the family, so there will be might even be a mitzvah to kill such a spider, but I wouldn't say so. Spiders that will attack for no reason, but the mitzvah is usually with something considered that would pose a danger even unprovoked. So then it's a mitzvah to go kill them even with traps. But otherwise, if you see they're dangerous, then you can kill them if not. So I would say that general home spiders that we know about in this part of the world, as far as I'm aware, are not dangerous to people. Perhaps if you have someone who is highly allergic to spider bites, it would be an interesting shayla. I'm not sure, because you can always keep the person away from the spider, not from the spider. Then after Shabbos, I don't know how to ask the shayla in such a case. But generally speaking, killing anything that has life is also a Shabbos, whether it's an animal that you want to shecht, or whether it's a bug that's driving you nuts, that is the melacha of shechet on Shabbos. Therefore, a bug, a mosquito, a spider, or an ant, fly, any of those things are also to kill on Shabbos. Trapping is a different story. If you trap an animal, you do tzedah, but it's not done for the sake of using the animal. Usually you trap an animal to either to have skins or whatever it is, but some animals you trap because you don't want them, not because you don't, because you want something from them, not book, you want the absent. And therefore, that's what we call a melacha shen sicha legufa, which we paskin is only a drabbanon. And when there is danger involved, so the drabbanon we say that goes. So if for a person, for example, a person is being chased by a dog, and he gets the dog to run into a garden, and then he closes the door behind the dog, and now the door is trapped. So that's a form of trapping. Getting an animal to run into an area, and then he closes the door and he can't get out. That's also a Shabbos. But since you're not trapping the dog because you want to skin him, eat him, or whatever it is, or keep him home and stop him from running away because he's your pet, but rather you want to keep him there so that he's not outdoors and he's not disturbing you, that's a melacha shen sicha legufa. Mokum hezek, mokum tar, if it's a dog that's annoying you, it's driving you crazy, it's dangerous, might fight. And the case may be, obviously, not about a danger. A dog that's rabbit and is chasing you, shoot it in the head on Shabbos, because that's Sakonis Lefashis. But it's not Sakonis Lefashis, but there's a danger involved, then you may trap it because the Makam Tzar, the Makam Hezek, like Gosu. So too, if you have a mosquito roaming around the house and it's looking for a good meal, then most of us are good suppliers of mosquito meals, and we don't like it, and it's a tsar, and we don't, it really annoys us, and we really have a reaction to it. Therefore, you can trap a mosquito, and if you have a cord, say, between your reshet and your window, he went out of the reshet, those windows caught in between, that would be a problem of tsayna. But if you did it in order to keep him out of the room, that would be mutter, because the makam in the derabbanan like that, the makam tsar, like gosu, you can get rid of your mosquito like that. You get a bee that comes in the house, and a cup that's got a little bit of fruit juice at the bottom of the cup, so he's gone to suck up the sweet fruit juice. He can quickly take a plate and put it on top. So now he's trapped, but he's trapped in order that he shouldn't bother us, not that he's trapped in order because I'm making a bee collection. If I make a bee collection, it'll be missing. All right, sir. But since I'm doing it because I don't want him, and he's in a nuisance, an annoyance, there will be mutter. So back to our spider webs. Spider webs are mukta and mukoba lakaka and cannot be removed. Shabbos and zikha not to kill the spider. One may not kill the spider. However, if you have a spider web that's on a kli, that's on a utensil, that's not connected to the house, so you don't have a problem with mukhobar, and you don't have a problem with mukta, so then you could remove the spider web if you did tilt it atzad. You used you didn't use your hand, but you used something else, you used a stick or something like that to remove it. Then we said that tilt it atzad is mutter, agabi mukta, as long as it's done for something that you need, not for something that's also, not that you're collecting spider webs on your stick, but rather, you don't want it here, it's disturbing your access to the clean. You can then remove the spider bit. And with that, we'll end it for this week. Fantastic week. Healthy and good, prosperous.
Amen.